Good morning. Pleasure to be on the roundtable.
Wonderful to have you on the program. I'm going to turn you over to Dr. Alan Chartok.
Hello, hello. Thanks for coming back. Appreciate it very much.
Should I call you doctor?
You could call me doctor. What do you want me to call you? Governor? How about governor? I'll call you governor. Okay, let me start with the pay commission report, of course, and you'll be going up to $250,000. Now, it may amaze you, but I think you would deserve $250,000. I mean, if we can pay somebody to run a hospital for $1 million, to run the state of New York, seems to me to be fair for $250,000. But there will be people who object to it. What do you think about all that money? 60% raise.
You know, my salary, $250,000 is a lot of money, Alan. It was never about my salary. As you know, it's not about the money for me, and I'm going to do this job if you pay me a dollar a year. I do need the raises for the executive staff. You have, on your exact point about $1 million to run a hospital, I have a health commissioner who runs billions of dollars in funds, who manages the hospitals in this state, who gets paid $130,000. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who come in and say, I just can't do it anymore. I'm sacrificing my family. I have counsels who have worked for me who walk out the door and make over $1 million. So you need quality in public service. And you need to have a salary that doesn't require the person to be a martyr sacrificing their family or independently rich. One thing about the pay commission that people have missed, though, Alan, it's not just the president of the United States, apparently, who doesn't read, according to Rex Tillerson. I don't think they read the pay commission law or the pay commission report. These are not automatic increases. I made the point from day one that people are willing to pay government officials, but they want performance. They want service. The whole concept of, well, we haven't gotten a raise in 17 years, so we deserve a raise. First of all, a lot of people haven't been there for 17 years. Second of all, they could pass a pay raise whenever they wanted. Third of all, the way the world works now is people pay for performance. So what the pay commission says is the legislature and the executive can get a raise, and they laid out a three-tier raise. If they perform. Performance is defined in the law as passing a timely budget. Why? Because the one constitutional duty that the legislators have is passing an on-time budget. At many years, you know, the budget became a joke. So the raise is contingent on performance. Performance is specified and defined as a timely budget for both sides to get a raise, the executive and the legislative.
Okay, but wait. But let's assume for a second, Governor, that that's the case. If, let's say, they get a good budget this year, but not the next time, and you take the money back?
They lose the raise. My commissioners, the assembly people, the Senate people, if you do not perform, you do not get a raise. And it's not like the Pataki era, well, we hold the money and then we give it back to you when you actually do the budget. The money is forfeited. And that's the basis upon which I supported the raise. I said, look, people need a raise. Legislators needed a raise. I said that from day one, $79,000, especially if you live in New York City, is very, very difficult. I need a raise for the commissioners to get competent people. But the voters, the citizens, have a right to expect performance. The modicum of performance is the constitutional on an on-time budget. You don't pass the on-time budget, a pox on all your houses, you don't get the raise.
Okay.
The executive, Alan, and yes, the legislative. Executive and legislative. It's not, one legislator was quoted as saying, well, it's extortion that we should get a raise. I said, did you read the law? No. Which means he's probably qualified to be president of the United States, according to Tillerson.
Okay,
said it's both sides.
Okay, we got it. We got it. I don't want to be rude, but I, you know, there's limited time here, so I want to make sure I get all my questions in. And the one question I have here, Governor, is the question of the outside income. Now, you and I agreed, and in fact, the last time we spoke, you said we should write a common op-ed. You said, quote, I agree with you, Alan Chartok. Now, let's assume that this bill passes, people would be prohibited from making outside income. Is there any chance that we're not going to see this because there's been some outrage over that?
No. The law that the Pay Commission has written has no what they call severability clause.
Right.
If the law is challenged, which it may very well be.
You think it will? Yeah.
Well, there are conservative groups who have said they're going to challenge it, right? Or have hinted that they're going to challenge it. If they challenge the law and the law falls, it means no raise and no ban. The ban is actually a good thing. The way that can be handled, and I would urge the Assembly and the Senate to do it immediately,
mm-hmm.
is just pass the ban as a separate law. The Senate minority, the Democrats weren't there in the Senate, they passed basically what's called the congressional model, where the Congress has a ban. It's really a limitation. The Senate passed it when they were in the minority. Do it now that you're in the majority, right?
It's not exactly.
I hope it's not one law that you pass when you're in the minority, and then not when you're in the majority.
But so you have, but you have
the and the Assembly can pass it,
and you have the great example of their leader, Andrea Stewart Cousins, basically saying, "I'm for this," right? I mean, you got to give her a lot of credit. Takes guts.
Well, she said we passed the bill in the minority, is what she said. Fine, come back in January, the first week. Pass the ban, the Assembly passed the ban, and then even if the law is challenged on the ban, it will be moot because the ban will be in the law.
Okay, we have so many more things here, Governor. On Monday, the New York State Board of Regents recommended an additional $2.3 billion in school aid next year. What do you think?
I think the educators should recommend a health.
And we are back with the governor. Governor, I don't know what happened there, but we do apologize.
You hung up on me, doctor.
Yeah, I think it's probably true that it was our mess up. And for that, okay. I abjectly apologize. I wish I didn't have to do that, but I do. See what I mean?
Well, I apologize. I don't think it's a bad thing to admit error. I think it's a good thing. I do it all the time. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. Anyway, in the Board of Regents, yes. They suggested a very large increase. Every advocacy group, every interest group, transportation, housing, they'll all recommend very large increases. There'll be a multiple of the state budget, and then the state legislature actually has to allocate the need to the budget.
And that's what's happened in the past, right? Inevitably, they come in and play the hero by raising the education budget bit.
Well, there's always a dance to the budget, right? Mm-hmm. I go first on the budget, so to speak, and I have to allocate the amount of money we have versus the demands and desires. Education is a top priority. They have a very strong lobbying group.
Sure.
And the legislature normally will raise that through the budget process, but it's the same dance every year, right, Alan? Everybody asks for tremendous increases, and then we have the actual limitation in reality of the state budget finances.
Okay, so I want to ask you about Schumer and Pelosi going up and talking to the president about making a deal. What would you tell him to do about the border wall?
I have three pieces of advice. Don't give the president the wall. Don't give the president the wall. And don't give the president the wall.
Okay.
Wants a wall as a political symbolic metaphor to vindicate his angry, divisive rhetoric in the campaign. That's what he means by the wall. That's why during the campaign I said he wants to build walls, we want to build bridges. He wants to separate people. He wants to divide people. We want to connect people. If the president was being more genuine and less political, he should have asked for border security, which is correct, Alan. You can't have a controlled border entrance if you don't have controlled points on the border where people are stopped from coming in. So if he was reasonable and said, look, I want to make sure we have border security and we bring in a private firm and whatever it is, it's lasers, it's light beams, it's cameras, some places a fence, maybe even some places a wall. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want a political monument to division. And their answer must be no.
On another subject, Dr. Elaine Calieros will be sentenced today after being found guilty in a corruption trial. What's your reaction, and how does this affect your upstate New York development programs?
Dr. Calieros served five governors here in the Capital District. He must have worked for 20 years. I'm a former DA. I'm a former Attorney General, ADA Attorney General. And I believe in the justice system and let the justice system operate. And I believe in the outcome.
He's gotten a lot of people testifying, you know, going to court and saying he's a good guy. He should be let off a bit. You haven't done that.
No, I have stayed out of it.
Okay. Now, the last time you were with us, you said you weren't running for president. But since then, the Times Union reports that your campaign has paid an Iowa political consultant $280,000 from 2014 to 16. If you're not running, how come?
Well, that assumes I paid an Iowa consultant $280,000. And if I paid an Iowa consultant $280,000, it would be news to me.
Interesting. So the report's wrong.
Stranger things have happened.
Okay, now here's one of my favorites. You have vetoed a bill which passed almost unanimously, which would allow lottery winners to remain anonymous. Now, if I won, I wouldn't want to tell everybody I won because every faker in the world would be knocking on my door and asking, and we don't do that with our regular big winners in society. Why should we do that?
I understand the privacy that might be sacrificed. But the lottery is a public system. It's publicly run. I think the transparency in public systems is a good thing. It's also a fraud detection device. We have found fraud in lottery winners before. So when we say Dr. Alan Chartok won, if there was any fraud attached, we have the advantage of the public who might be aware of potential fraud coming forward. And I think the confidence in the system is very important, right? The distrust of government is so high, Alan. Everyone believes everything is rigged and everything is fixed. And I think it would be a mistake for the trust in the lottery system to say somebody won $50 million, but we're not going to tell you who it is.
Well, you could root out fraud without having to name the person, couldn't you? I mean, it seems to me that that's, I'm sorry for saying this way, Governor, but it seems like a weak argument.
It is between the transparency. Look, it's a public system, and it's operated by the state. And we're saying we're giving someone $50 million. And I'm sure there's somebody listening to this show right now that says, well, you know, it's, I bet you they have it fixed. I bet you the governor told Dr. Shartok what ticket to pick. I think it adds transparency. It adds trust. And there is an anti-fraud factor to telling the world you won. And if anyone has any information to suggest that there may have been a fraudulent situation, they have the facts and they can come forward. But transparency and trust are very important. And I think especially when you have this much money involved and a publicly operated system.
You visited the L train in New York. Many of us go down to New York from time to time. What'd you find?
I haven't gone yet.
Okay.
The L train is a...
My brother-in-law is very upset. He lives in Brooklyn.
Yes, there are many people very upset. I've had many very upset New Yorkers come up to me and threaten me with various forms of physical violence because of the L train. There are construction projects that just cause delay. There's no doubt about it. And the tunnels in New York City have been damaged, the Gateway Tunnel, especially during Hurricane Sandy. They've been working on the project for a long period of time. They have been cautioned by everyone to make sure they are as creative and fast as possible. And the MTA has been doing that. There are still people who are going to be disappointed and will suffer some period of hardship because of the shutdown. And I want to be able to say to every New Yorker, I believe everything that could be done has been done. Every genius, every expert, every idea has been considered. And the MTA has been doing that. We're now at a point where the plans are basically final because construction is supposed to start in about 4 or 5 months. People who are familiar with construction know that it's an evolving process until you get up to the last day where now the plan is definitive. So we're near that point because they only have four or five months left to play with it. And I just want to bring in a fresh set of eyes that can look at the project, look at the plans, make sure there are no suggestions, no new ideas, no creative ideas that could make the situation any better. And it might render no fruit, but given the level of hardship and the expense, by the way, it's a $500 million project. As the plans are near final, I want to have a group come in so I can say to New Yorkers, look, I'm telling you personally that I was there, we brought in experts, everybody looked at it, this is the best we can do. It's a 15-month closing. That's a very long period of time, assuming they make the 15 months. And when you talk about a construction deadline for government, and especially with cynical New Yorkers, they say 15 months, that translates to 24 months minimum. So I just want to make sure New Yorkers are confident that nothing else could be done. And I actually had a gentleman come up to me who said, have you personally gone through it? And I said, no, I didn't personally go through it, but that's not what I do. He said, well, they told you you couldn't replace the Tappan Zee Bridge, right? I said, yeah, well, that's right. He said, but you did it anyway, right? I said, yeah, you're right. He said, well, why don't you go look at these plans and bring the best people to look at the plans just so we know? And, you know, that's that New York logic, right? Cynical. Make sure you try everything. So I have asked, we're assembling a team of outside-the-box thinkers who have nothing to do with government. They're just international experts in tunnel construction and electric systems. And I've asked them to come take a look just so New Yorkers have confidence that every option has been explored. I think if they know that, they'll feel better about the delay because they'll know it wasn't capricious, it's not arbitrary, it's not incompetence. Everything that can be done has been done. And that'll make me feel better on a personal level, if nothing else.
Okay, I have less than a half a minute, and it's got to be a yes or no answer. Nancy Pelosi, you're putting the hammer to our delegation, including Kathleen Rice. Are you getting assurances they'll all vote for Pelosi?
Short answer is no. I think they should. I think this is intramural politics. I think it's personal politics. They had a Democratic caucus. The Democrats argued. They yelled. They pointed fingers. They picked Nancy Pelosi. Don't jeopardize Democratic leadership of the Congress. It's the only break we have on this president and his extreme conservative locomotive. We picked up 40 members. Every Democrat across this country worked very hard. We picked up 3 seats in New York. We spent tens of millions of dollars. Stop your intramural politics. Don't jeopardize Democratic rule. They don't even have an alternative to Nancy Pelosi. She's a pro, and we need the Congress desperately here in New York selfishly to protect us from this federal government.
It's always wonderful to have Governor Andrew Cuomo with us. Governor, thank you so much for allowing us to have this talk today, and we hope you'll keep coming back. Thanks so much.
See, I got it done in 30 seconds, Doctor.
You did very well. You can hand in your blue book now.
Thank you.